This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this beautiful deen of Islam. And He sent us this deen of Islam in order that we may practice it and that it may become a means of goodness for us and for all those around us in this world. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah mentioned in this hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, narrated by Abu Huraira, who said that Rasulullah said, I have only been sent to perfect righteous behavior. I have only been sent to perfect righteous behavior. Now see the wording of this hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is not saying I have been sent to perfect behavior. He is not saying I have been sent to convert bad behavior into good behavior. All of that, of course, is part of it, and he was sent for that, and that's what he did. But he's saying, I have been sent to perfect righteous behavior. Behavior which is already righteous, I have been sent to make it even better. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We have created death and life in order to test you to see which of you will do the best deeds. Ayyukum ahsan amala, best deeds. Not to see which one will do good deeds and which one will do bad deeds. No. To see among the ones who do good deeds, who does even the best deed, one better than that. The issue of perfecting behavior assumes already a certain standard of good behavior. And perfection consists of over that, exceeding that standard. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have come to do that for you. A man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in another hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. A man asked him, came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please advise me. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not become angry and furious. Now, one of the beauties of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that he knew his people, he knew individuals. And so in many cases you will find that he gave advice to people which is of course generally accepted and generally applicable to all of us. But it was advice given very specifically to certain people because he knew them very well. And so he is advising that man and he's saying to him, do not become angry and furious. The man asked the same. Oh, Ya Rasulullah, please advise me. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the same thing. Do not become angry and furious. He said, Ya Rasulullah, advise me. He said, do not become angry and furious. Three times, one after the other. Now, Abu Dharr Ghifari, radiallahu anhu, said, he said to, Abu Dharr Ghifari said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he quoted him and he said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ittaqullah haythu ma kunt. He said, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. And follow an evil deed. وَاتَّبِ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ. Follow a evil deed with a good one. Yeah? So, تَمْهُحَ وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ. And treat people with good behavior. So he said to him, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are, whichever situation you might be. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow an evil deed with a good one, meaning that even though you may have taqwa, you still make mistakes. When you make a mistake, follow that up with a good deed, so that the good deed will wipe out the evil deed. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyiat. The good deeds wipe out the evil deeds, and treat people with good behavior. Now, let us look at these hadith of Rasulullah and see how we can apply them in our lives. The purpose of all of these lectures is to remind ourselves, is for me to remind myself and for you to remind yourself that the purpose of Islam is for us to follow it. The purpose of Islam is for us to live our lives according to it. And that's why we call these sessions Living Islam, not acquiring information about Islam or not learning about Islam, but learning about Islam with the intention of following it, in the intention of living Islam. So that is the purpose of this. So let us see what we heard in these three ahadiths. One, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have been sent to perfect righteous behavior. Now let us look at our own actions and see which are our good actions and what can we do to make them even better. I think the most obvious and the first example is that of Salah. It is the best of the actions. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us and to make it easy for us. The best of the actions is Salah. Now, how can I improve my Salah? How can I make it better? Right? Perfecting righteous behavior. So Salah is righteous behavior. How can I improve the quality of my Salah? Now, the quality of the Salah is based on, or rather the quality is measured in two areas. One is the internal quality of the Salah and the other one is the external. The external is easier in that sense, perhaps, because it's visible and we can monitor it and measure it, which consists of making proper and perfect wudu. That doesn't mean spending a lot of water. It means doing it correctly. That's all. But doing it in as little water as possible is part of the perfection of wudu, right? Not making wudu and wasting of water. So it starts with that. And then, of course, it is the khushu and the niyat of going towards the masjid, or if you're praying at home, to your place of prayer with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sincerity to do that only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is part of the external part. Then we stand in Salah, make sure clothes are appropriate and clean, make sure the place of prayer is clean, and then we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go through the entire, all the actions of the Salah. I don't have to describe them to you. You know that because you all pray as well. So starting from the Takbir-e-Tahrima, Allahu Akbar, all the way to the Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah. Making sure that we do all the actions properly and in a state of peace and tranquility. Not in a hurry, like Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, don't make sujood like a crow, you know, pecking or drinking water kind of thing. Just peck, you know, just tap, tap. And two sajda finish. No. Take your time. Make sure, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, between the in each of the movements, the bones must come to rest. So when you make ruku and stay there until the body is at rest. And then you stand up in khiyam and so forth. Similarly, in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the worst of the people are those who steal in salah. So the Sahaba asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, how can anybody steal in Salah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, to do the movements of Salah partially, and you know, not to do them properly, is to steal in Salah. So you may have seen people who go into ruku and they go into ruku and almost instantly they stand up, not fully, they just stand up partially and they go into sajda. Immediately, right? So they go into ruku like this and they're gone. And then of course the sajda also is very short, literally tap tap. Again, between the two sujood, they don't sit up properly, just partly, and then back into sajda. All of this amounts to stealing in salah. Then the other things of recitation of the Quran, to recite it to the best of your ability, trying to ensure that you recite it correctly, and what we don't know, we should learn so that we don't make mistakes. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to forgive mistakes. So we ask Allah to enable us to recite without making mistakes, and if we make a mistake, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. So to ensure that we do that, and then this doesn't apply to imamat alone. I'm not talking about reciting as an imam. I'm saying when we do our salah, when I'm doing my salah by myself, nobody is there, and I'm doing my own recitation, it must still be perfect. It's not that we worry about that when we are reciting before, in front of people and somebody is listening. This is about our own salah. When I am praying by myself alone in my home, maybe tahajjud, maybe whatever, the recitation must be perfect. We must make sure that we do it correctly. So also the tasbihat in ruku and sujood must be done perfectly, and they must be done peacefully and harmoniously and in tranquility, not in a hurry, at least 5 times, 7 times. 3 is the absolute minimum. So if you just say smallest, no. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And think about the Rabbi, the glorified is my Rabb. Glorified is my Rabb. Pure is my Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these tasbihat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave us this so that we may be honored to call Allah as our Rabb. Right? Allah did not say, he didn't address himself as Rabbul Alameen. Subhana Rabbul Alameen. No, it says Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. So therefore, it is something to be thought about. So these are all the external parts of the salah which must be perfected. Then we come to the internal aspects of salah, which is the khushu and khudu, which is the concentration, the dedication, the sincerity, the ikhlas of the salah to continuously, constantly, while we pray, also to make istighfar and tawbah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ar-riya, from showing off, from trying to impress people. All of this must be, the heart should be cleaned from all of this, must be completely pure. And when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we stand with this total sense of humility, humbleness, broken in spirit. Come there as a beggar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for His forgiveness, for His generosity, for His gifts. This is the purpose of salah. And to do that 5 times a day so that we are constantly reminded again and again and again of who is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, there's this, may Allah bless the Sheikh who gave that lecture. I saw a very small short clip on WhatsApp where this Sheikh, he mentioned, and he said, which is the word that you say the most often? And then he said, it is Allahu Akbar. And then he mentioned the number of times you say Allahu Akbar in Salah itself. Right, starting from Takbirat Tahrima, throughout Salah, except for Samiullah Haliman Hamida and Salaam Alaikum, the Taslim at the end. Other than that, it's all Allahu Akbar every time we stand up and sit down. And he explained it so beautifully. He said that when I come and stand in Takbirat Tahrima, stand in Salah, I throw the whole world behind my back and say, Allahu Akbar. See, Allah is the greatest. This world is not the greatest. Circumstances are not the greatest. Political powers are not the greatest. Economic powers are not the greatest, right? Nothing is the greatest, only Allah is the greatest. Which means that when I'm saying Allahu Akbar, I am cleaning my heart of all ma'asib Allah, of everyone other than Allah, number one. Number two, I'm cleaning my heart of all depression and all stress and all fear and all tension, completely, totally clear. Because what tension, what fear, when I say Allahu Akbar, everything else is asghar, everything else is saghir, everything else is insignificant, is worthless, right? I don't have to worry about that. Allahu Akbar. Then I recite the hamd and sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I recite His kalam, I make dua to Him and so on and so forth. And then I go Allahu Akbar in ruku. And then Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard. And then Allahu Akbar in sujood again. Maybe a thought comes, what about this? Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. And another thought comes, what about coronavirus? Allahu Akbar. Thought comes, what about economic collapse? Allahu Akbar. thought comes, what about this government, that government, what happens if this one gets elected, that one gets elected? Allahu Akbar. No matter who gets elected, no matter what happens, no matter what doesn't happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al Akbar. There is no one who is greater than Allah. There is no one who is more powerful than Allah. There is no one who is who can allow harm to come, or who can prevent harm from coming other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I am standing before Allah and I am saying Allahu Akbar, everything else pales into insignificance. Now this is the meaning of perfecting that righteous deed, and that righteous deed is Salah. To understand what we are reciting in the Quran, to understand what of the Quran we are reciting, to focus on it, to reflect on it, to think about it, right? Think about it. I mean, there's so many beautiful ayahs of the Quran. When we read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almost any ayah, you pick it up, reflect on it and say, Subhanallah, what is Allah telling us? Yeah, it's Surah Al-Fatiha itself. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, I am yours. Oh Allah, I am yours. This is my connection with you. Ya Rab, I am here. I am here. Ya Rab, I am here. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And Allah gave us these words. Allah said, call me like this. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Say to me, Oh Allah, you are the only one I worship. The only one whose help I seek. Because nobody else can help me. So this is the beauty. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling us. Right? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us as far as our behavior is concerned. And he said to the man, do not become angry and furious. Now, this obviously applies to anger and fury, because anger and fury is where our emotions, you know, take over, and then we do things, we say things, and then we have to weep about that and we have to regret it. May Allah forgive me, may Allah forgive others. How terrible is that? Imagine the whole of life is going only in this, right? The whole of life is going only in getting angry and furious and then making amends for it. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. How tragic is that? So to control anger, that is the essence of strength. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strongest man is not the one who can defeat a wrestler or defeat another person and throw him on the ground. The strongest man is the one who can control his own anger. Very difficult to do. I know it is very difficult to do. I mean, I'm speaking from my own experience. But if we can try to do it, and remember, everything, nothing changes overnight. You know, things over time, it takes time, but inshallah, you will be successful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who rewards the effort. So make the effort. Even if you are not successful, it doesn't matter, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the effort, so you are getting reward anyway for the effort that you are making. It is so fantastic, my brothers and sisters, human beings don't forgive. Human beings do not forgive. Human beings carry grudges. They carry them in their hearts. Those grudges are things that they love, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not carry grudges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. So seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Control anger and do not become furious. And the third hadith which I mentioned to you here is the hadith of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him three different pieces of advice. He said, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Now this is the most beautiful advice that anybody can give anybody else. And Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu was very special. He was one of the earliest of the Sahaba. He was one of the earliest of the Muhajirun. He belonged to the tribe of Ghifar, and he was one of the first people to accept Islam. And he was a very, very strong Muslim, mashallah. He was an ascetic. He was a person who was very strict with himself. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very much. Now, he was a man whose da'wah was so powerful that thanks to him, the entire tribe of Ghifar became Muslim. And then one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina when somebody came running and they brought news and they said there's a big cloud of dust in the distance and it looks like an army is coming to attack Medina. And everyone got very worried. But when they checked, it was another tribe and that whole tribe had come and that was the tribe of Aslam. And this whole tribe came and they said, we want to accept Islam. So Rasulullah ﷺ asked them, who invited you to Islam? What's the story? And they said, the tribe of Ghifar has accepted Islam. And because they have accepted Islam, we will also accept Islam. Now both the Ghifar and the Aslam were people who were highway robbers. So now it's a twin benefit, twin bonus, which is that thanks to the dawah of Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu, the tribe of Ghifar became Muslim, meaning they gave up also their highway robbery. And the influence of that was such that the tribe of Aslam also became Muslim and they also gave up their highway robbery. So it's not only a matter of just changing your religion, but because Islam is a religion of practice, it means also changing your way of life and learning to do good things instead of bad things. Now this is Abu Dharr Ghifari, such a beloved companion and sahabi of Rasulullah, such an important one. He's so important in the history of Islam, somebody who had such a huge effect on people and one of the beloved awliya of Allah, inshaAllah. Abu Dharr Ghifari is advised, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him this advice and he said, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. Ittaqullaha haythu ma kunt. Wherever you are, have taqwa of Allah. What is taqwa of Allah? Taqwa of Allah is to be concerned about the pleasure of Allah. You know, the problem comes because we know, I know all this, but I remind myself that I need to have this, which is that I must think before I speak and before I act. Because if I don't, the problem is, yes, I know I must have taqwa. But when, especially that's the reason why I mentioned these two ahadiths together, especially when you get angry. Now, you may have a reason to be angry. It's not to say that you are me. After all, you are not insane. So you won't get angry out of nothing. There is some reason. But when that reason is there and when we get angry, then we react. And when we react, we say something or we do something which obviously does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that at that point in time, the taqwa of Allah was not there. Now, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, to say that every time, wherever you are, have the taqwa of Allah. Have always, wherever you are, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in your life. Yesterday we talked about filling our hearts with the glory and majesty of Allah. This is taqwa. Taqwa is to fill our hearts with the glory and majesty of Allah in such a way that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. And when we do that, as I mentioned earlier many times, and I'll mention it many times again, two very important things happen. One is that this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in our lives, the consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me real time, that He is seeing, He is watching, huwa sami'ul basir, huwa alimun bi zati sudur, He is aware of what is in my heart. This awareness, what it does is that it protects us from sin. Because obviously, if I can remind myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening, then and if I'm about to commit some sin, then the obvious result of that is that I will not commit that sin. You know, it makes no sense whatsoever that I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yet I still commit the sin. No, it can't happen. So if I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically I don't commit that sin. Or if it is something that has happened, then I immediately make istighfar and tawbah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and we have complete and total faith that Allah will forgive because Allah promised to forgive. So that is the first benefit of having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever we are. The second benefit of having taqwa wherever we are is a sense of confidence. A sense of confidence, a sense of being protected, a sense of strength, a sense of being supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is the second benefit of having taqwa wherever we are, that we have the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, and therefore we are protected, and we can then live without fear. Because my Allah is with me. Whatever is happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. Any problem, any difficulty, alhamdulillah, Allah is with me. Because this is the benefit of this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, which is the meaning of taqwa. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him. He said, have taqwa of Allah wherever you are. And the second thing he said to him was that if you do something bad, immediately do something good. Give some charity, make pray to rakat of salah or whatever. Make istighfar and tawbah. And then immediately do something good, because good deeds wipe out evil deeds. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran. Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyat. Allah said, verily, the hasanat, the good deeds, they clean and wipe out the evil deeds. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this advice to say that follow up. So now, even though I have taqwa, even though I'm conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life, but I'm human, so I forget, and I sometimes say something which I should not have said, I do something which I should not have done, I give in to temptation, or I forget, and then of course immediately I realize, now what? Now immediately, as soon as you realize, then immediately make istighfar, make tawbah consciously, and then immediately give some sadaqah. Follow up the good deed, follow up the evil deed with something good. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was sitting in the masjid. A man came and he started to make dua. He said, Ya Allah, forgive me, Ya Allah, forgive me. Sayyidina Ali called him. He said, come here. When the man came, he said, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said to him, this is not how you ask forgiveness. This is not how you ask forgiveness. You ask forgiveness by, first of all, being conscious of what you did in your heart and being contrite and being very regretful and feeling very bad about it and being, you know, being very seeking, being feeling ashamed of that. I should not have done this. I did it. So being ashamed of that. So one is, it starts inside. Second thing is, he said, it's a question of then seeking forgiveness. So if it is something that had to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you make istighfar, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And if it is something, on the other hand, which had to do with people, then you make amends with that person, the person you harmed, the person you transgressed against, the person whose rights you denied, the person you abused or whatever, then go and apologize to that person. Because Rasulullah said that Allah will not forgive until that individual, the person that you wronged, until that person forgives you, Allah will not forgive you. So seek the forgiveness of that person. That's very, very important. And he said then, give something good, give some charity, you know, follow up the evil deed with some good deed. So give some charity and then make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then come and ask Allah for forgiveness. So this is the protocol, this is the procedure of gaining the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, treat people with good behavior. Treat people with good behavior. Today, if you look at it, we are having all these protests in America, Black Lives Matter, protests in America which are anti-racist. And it's very important in today's world to be anti-racist. It's not sufficient just not to be racist. We have to actually stand up against racism. And racism based on color is only one kind of racism. It's not the only kind of racism. Racism based on color is one, but other forms of racism are also there, which is discrimination, which is based on religion, on political leanings or political inclinations or whatever you support and so on, a different kind of thing. There is discrimination based on gender. Women are routinely discriminated against and so forth. So the point is here that Islam is against all of this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, treat people with good behavior. So as I was saying, in this Black Lives Matter protests that are going on, the beautiful story where Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu one day got angry with Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, and he called him something, you know, which referred to him in a like something like a racial slur, right? He called him the son of a black mother or something like this. Now, when this happened, Sayyidina Bilal obviously was upset, so he complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately called Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu and he said, "Have you gone back to the days of Jahiliyyah? Have you gone back to the days of ignorance that you are behaving like people used to do in those days?" Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu immediately realized what happened. He apologized to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he went in search of Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he went to Bilal radiallahu anhu and he profusely apologized to Bilal radiallahu anhu for whatever he had said. And then he said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, "I am going to lie down on the ground, with my face on the side. I want you to stamp on my face with your shoe." He's saying to Bilal radiallahu anhu, "I'm going to lie down. I want you to, you know, put your foot on my face and stamp on my face with your shoe." Now, obviously, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "No, I will not do that." And he said, "I refuse to do anything like that." Now, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu got irritated. He said, "If you don't do this, I will complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So Sayyidina Bilal said, "This is good. I mean, you came to apologize to me, now you want to complain about me." So anyway, that is between the two brothers, and they loved them. The Sahaba loved each other more than we love our own brothers and sisters. May Allah protect us. But point I want to make here is that treating people with good behavior, the Sahaba took it so seriously that if something had gone wrong, then to make amends, they went to an extent which can be called an extreme. But they wanted to make sure that their accounts were cleared in this life itself. They didn't want to take any of that with them into the next life. That was the whole point. The whole point was this. Why did Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu insist that Sayyidina Bilal must do this? Because he said, "I want to finish it here. I want to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm really, really extremely sorry for talking to you like this. And I want you to completely, whatever is in your heart, take it out." Right? You're angry with me, completely express your anger. Don't keep the anger with you. Sayyidina Bilal was a man with a big heart. So he said, "No, that's enough. You have apologized to me, that is enough. I will not do anything of the sort. I am not going to stamp on any person's face or anything like this." But the point is that this was the nature of Islam, where we said that even if you do something wrong, yes, maybe you abuse somebody, you didn't realize that you were abusing that person, you didn't realize what was happening, maybe you did that, doesn't matter. Make amends. Don't carry that with you, right? If you did abuse somebody, don't carry it with you. Yes, it may have happened, it may have happened without your, won't happen without your knowledge, but certainly it can happen without your intent. You didn't consciously want to do that. You didn't set out to do that, but it happened. But don't let that continue. Stop it immediately. Correct it. I think this is the whole point of it, which is that we need to take hisab of our own lives every day. Right? I recommend this to you. Please try to do this in the evening. Sit down, and I consciously tell people, sit with a piece of paper, because that's the best way of recording. Not all these devices. Sit with a piece of paper and a pen and write down. I'm not asking you to write a diary, but write down yours for yourself. First thing you write down, what did I learn today? One life lesson that you learned today. You may have learned it anyway. Maybe it was just a thought that came into your heart or mind. Maybe it was something you read. Maybe it was something you watched. Maybe something was happening and you were watching it and you learned a lesson. Whatever it was. Maybe somebody said something to you. Thanks to that person, you learned the lesson. Whatever it was. Talk about that and say, "This is what I learned today. Alhamdulillah." Write that down. Then second thing is, you write down one thing which a mistake that you may have made, and write down the mistake and write down what you did to correct the mistake. The correction of mistakes is to accept the mistake. Yes, I did this wrong. And then to fix it in such a way that you do not repeat that mistake again. Repeating mistakes over and over again is a sign of stupidity and foolishness. I remind myself more than anybody else. Do not try to live your life in a way where you do not make the same mistake twice. Rasulullah said, the Muslim is the one who is never bitten from the same hole twice. Right? So it is very important for us. Let us live our life in a way where we do not repeat our mistakes. We all make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Rasulullah said, the best people are the best of those who make mistakes are those who make tawbah. So therefore, let us be among those who make istighfar and be among the tawaboon, be among the people who regret and who correct their mistakes and who try not to make any more mistakes. My brothers and sisters, we are living in a world which seems to be in a sort of tailspin. You know, every day you get news which is more and more and more negative. Don't focus on that. Look at yourself and say, in all of this negativity in this world, what is one positive thing that I can do? What is one good thing, one useful thing that I can do, which will help somebody somewhere? Which can light up some life somewhere, which can benefit somebody somewhere. What is it, that one thing which I can do? And try and do that. Right? I think if we can do this, inshallah, this is enough for us. That if we can live our lives in a way where we focus on, that's why the whole issue of living Islam. I keep telling myself and I tell others that don't worry about others. Focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. If you correct yourself, then automatically the world will become a better place. Because if you correct yourself, then you will do the right things, you will see the right things. And because of you, the right kind of influence will spread in the world. And this is beneficial to everybody. The more it spreads, the more people are benefited by it. My brothers and sisters, we do not know how much time we have left. So let us focus on this and act and treat each day as if it is our last. And one day will be our last. There is one night, the morning following that night, I am not destined to see. There is one morning, the night that is to come after that, I am not destined to see. I don't know which morning it is. I don't know which night it is. But there will be one night. And there will be one morning. Which will be the last morning or the last night of my life. Let us treat every morning and every night as if it is the last, because that is how it will be. That's why Rasulullah used this formula for us. He taught us this formula. He said, treat every salah as if it is your last salah. Pray as if this is your last salah, because one salah will be your last. Treat every Ramadan as if it is to be the last, because one will be our last. Just think about our friends or whoever we knew who passed away just after Ramadan. Did they know that Ramadan we just left less than a month ago? Did they know that Ramadan was going to be their last? They didn't know that. Neither do we. So when we have something good, and the best of what we have is time, let us take advantage of that time. Let us make the most of that time. Let us use that time to the best of our ability to get the maximum benefit from that time. Because once it is gone, that is not going to come back, and we do not know whether we have anything more in the future. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to enable you to do that which is pleasing to him and to save you from everything which displeases him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.